Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to register for our next workshop coming up January 13th through the 15th in Texas in the lovely Hill Country. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748. Or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're so glad you've decided to join us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen Cervantes. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Well, good. Well, you know, this broadcast is coming to you in the last week of 2016, and we just want to remind you that we're a listener-supported broadcast, and this is the end of the year, and it's a time where we really rely heavily on folks who decide to plan their year-end giving. And if you would like to come alongside and partner with us and support us through a generous year-end gift, we'd be grateful for that. All you need to do is go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link, and you can find out about the ways that you can partner with us financially and in other ways as well. So, Stephen, we're going to keep rolling from what we had done at the last episode on kind of just this issue of healing emotional brokenness and talking about just the roles that we see of men who come into our Gateway to Freedom workshop and how there's the angry role and the controlling and lost and nice and storyteller and entitled role. And last time we kind of talked about what each of those roles signify, and then also what this means about a person if they're kind of stuck in one of these roles and how that really creates kind of this emotional imbalance. And so this time around, I think we're going to be diving into, okay, why does someone kind of get fixed into playing one role over their lifetime? And then how do we, you know, what are the feelings that are going on in that person? What drives that system? And then ultimately how we can begin to shift that emotional system.
So good. Thank you for that introduction. We have been talking about at Gateway, when men show up, they have a presentation. And we make this assumption, your emotional system is underdeveloped. And then we look at your presentation or the role that you play. And we assume there's emotional work that needs to be done in each of these men. We don't blame people. We don't shame them. We don't belittle them. We're here to be a safe place. Mm-hmm. And so we challenge these guys. And what happens is the men teach us. And then we ask these men for permission. Can we share this on a podcast? So do you understand? You're invited into our little group. That's what's happening right now. You're sitting in one of our group sessions. It's not the same, but the material is the same. And we hope the blessing is the same and the spirit is the same. And Jonathan is at a weekend. I'm at the weekend. And we're doing our work there. And we're doing our work here with you right now. Mm-hmm. So sit up straight. Get your pen and paper out.
And I'd also like to say, just kind of emphasize, you know, or piggybacking on what you're saying about just the no shame and that kind of thing, because really all of us who are there, whether we're in kind of a leader and facilitator role or men who are coming to participate in the workshop, we are all acknowledging, listen, we all have need of growth in our emotional health.
Amen.
And
amen.
So it's like we're, you know, Stephen and I, one of the things that we love about doing these workshops is it sharpens us. It continues to grow us personally as well too. So we don't want it to seem like a top down kind of a thing. It's like we're all on the same playing field here.
That's right. And Jonathan's talking, I'm making some notes. Oh, I'm going to add that. That's good. I'm going to add that. And I hope when I'm talking, he's thinking, okay, mm-hmm. this is the right frame to way to approach a situation. So why does someone get fixed playing one role for a lifetime? What happens to these kids, these boys that grow up, and they're playing the same role they played when they were 10? And now mm-hmm. they're 20 and they're playing the same role, and they're 30 and they're playing the same role. And there's no sense of growth, maturity, happiness, contentment. They play their role. So here's what we know. Roles are used for survival.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't know what else to do, play your role. Your role will protect you. Your role will give you a place, strength, identity. Play your role. So remember, these roles came out of a need to survive a difficult situation. And these roles were a decision, a clear decision that was made. It might not have been, a December 8th day I sat down and I wrote myself a note and said, okay, right. Today we're going to decide this. But clearly in the culture of growing up, I define myself as needing to be nice. If I'm nice, I'm going to be okay. Or if I take control, I'll be okay.
Yeah, it's very much a subconscious thing. It's almost like one of the ways I describe it when we're in the workshop in terms of how we respond to life as a kid and how we respond to all of the experiences that we have is most of us, I'm not going to say everybody, but I think most of us are almost naturally pre-wired in childhood to search out the path of least resistance. So, and I do believe that we are born with our personality in terms of just kind of our natural bent. And then our environment sort of either helps that to thrive or kind of causes it to wither. Either way, I think we start finding that path that says, this feels easier. This feels less resistant. This feels, in my system, this feels safer. And so I think that's where we start kind of navigating ourselves, not consciously. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of like, we're talking about our emotional system, right?
Right.
And how many times do we see men and women where there's sometimes this disconnect between their thinking system and their emotional system. Your thinking system is very much a conscious, connection. Sometimes we're not so consciously connected to our emotional system. It's almost like a subconscious thing. So that's where I think we start navigating into these roles that say, mm-hmm. it feels safe to put on a smile and be nice and be pleasing and do all of that. Even if I'm kind of thrashing around inside, I don't have a lot of answers to questions, I'm scared, whatever else. Does that make sense?
Yes, or
is that...
yes, it does. So I appreciate that.
And that's, I think, that survival mentality.
So here's what we know. When children come from difficult emotional situations, they clearly learn that normal behavior does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Go ask mom, hey, what's going on? Hey, dad, can you tell me about this? Hey, I'm confused. I'd like to learn. When when there's too much drinking in the house, too much anger in the house, somebody gone too much neglect in the house, or people are fighting in the house, normal behavior doesn't work. So you pick up a role to help you survive the rest of your life.
And do you think that, and I'm, as you're saying that, I'm asking this question in my head, do you think that we pick up those roles directly from our parents? In other words, they have the same role? Or do you think that can, that's not always a one-to-one? Like, let's say your parents' role is anger. Are you going to pick that one up? Or are you going to go another direction?
Well,
or?
If you think about this a minute, there's two responses. Angry people are powerful people. They get their way. So somebody who's trying to figure out a way through life might say, hey, I want to get my way. I'm going to identify with the strong one, either mom or dad, whoever wins. Or you get completely opposite. You hate it so much, you don't want to have anything to do with it.
You become the pleaser. And
it
you just
was
want to,
so painful. You do the exact opposite of it.
Mm, okay.
So the person playing the role as a child concluded this is the best way to live. Right? Think about it. A role gives you clarity, identity, power, a way to interact. It's helpful. You play the role. But here's the dilemma. What does an angry person want? Remember, anger is expressed disappointment. So what does an angry person want? I want somebody to hear that I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed. And probably this kid, all his life, nobody cared that he was disappointed. So now he's pounding it out. And if you say to an angry person, wow, you're really disappointed, they go, you're hearing me? You know, you're messing with me here, right? And so what does a controller, why does a controller take control? Because home was so messy and scary and weak and disordered that control was a solution to have a happy life, right? But the controller is afraid of disorder or weakness or chaos. And that's a lot of what they have inside emotionally. So they just take control. It's easier. It's simple. It's powerful. It's clear. If you're lost, if you can't figure out how to live and your parents aren't available to teach you how to live, you sort of get lost in the growing up process and you stop taking care of yourself and asking questions and engaging life. It's too hard. You just get lost. You just bug out in your head. Go find some place and make up something that's fun. Mm-hmm. If you're the storyteller, you learned if you get out there, people are going to hurt you. So say a nice story that fits together neatly, but don't be in the story. Right? And then the entitled people,
sure,
I said that's more habit. Go ahead.
You know, the irony to me is when you begin to understand what role a person plays and maybe start to try to respond to the underlying issues. The irony is that because these individuals have played these roles, have lived in these roles for so long, most of the time what you see is they don't know how to respond.
Well, so, no, wait a minute. They know have one response.
No, but that's what I'm saying is they don't know how to receive that. So for instance, you've got the angry person and you say, wow, you sound really disappointed. That must be hard to feel that disappointment. And it's hitting what their underlying thing is, but their only way of filtering and funneling that is in the anger role, that they don't really know how to receive that into their spirit. It's like there's a learning curve that they have to go on to be able to actually receive what they really need, wouldn't you say? Because their response is like, well, listen, the only way that I know how to respond to you is anger, but you kind of just said something to me that really does hit actual deep place in me.
Yeah, and so remember, there are violent people. We're not talking about that.
We're talking about
just regular angry people. And so you have an angry person, you say, you know, I can tell you're really disappointed. And then you say this, I'm going to help you with that. Mm. And you make them a child. You're going to help me? I thought I was going to have to go take it. I didn't think anybody was going to help me.
And by the way, listeners, Stephen is saying that in a positive way, not make them a child, like, you know, push them down, but draw out the child within them
that's angry
and not knowing how to deal with life.
Mm-hmm. So good. So let's keep going. what do these people that play roles feel like inside? Mm. When they're tired. One of the gentlemen said, I never paid attention to myself. I really am tired. And then he went, I'm so tired. Because he's been playing this strong role. And it's exhausting.
Yeah, if you think about it, I mean, think about all of these roles. Angry. I mean, we even know through medical and scientific studies what anger can do to your biology. It literally wears you out. I mean, this is one of the things, Stephen, in some other talks that we've talked about in terms of relationships and husbands and wives and things like this. I know that you've often trained men to think in terms of if your wife is getting emotionally ramped up, whatever the emotion is, that if you understand that biologically you cannot remain at a 10 emotionally, perpetually, forever, then if
she's coming down,
if a man can ride that wave and know that eventually her biology is going to require her to come down, then you can really help a person ride that wave. But if so, an angry person, you can imagine how tired they are just physically. Controlling person,
right.
I mean, you know, even lost. If you think about lost, it's almost like there's this fatigue of not feeling like they belong.
Right, and failing, and people telling them weird things. Why do you say that? Why do you talk like that? You don't know why, right?
And again, nice, feeling like, man, I don't have any places where I can take the mask off, where I can just relax.
And I take care of everybody all day, but nobody takes care of me.
So we're talking about this, I think, on two levels. There is definitely the emotional tiredness of feeling like you're kind of constantly in the hamster wheel, playing your role. But I also think there's a real physical tiredness that comes out of it as well. Mental and physical tiredness that your body just begins to break down, which is, I think, why, you know, we see a lot of men who they could be diagnosed with clinical depression, or they have anxiety issues going on, and their bodies are just kind of breaking down.
Yeah. So I'm going down this list. What do these men feel inside? Tired, fearful. Mm-hmm. Will I ever be loved well? Somebody going to take care of me? Does anyone want to know me? Do you accept me? If I showed all of you, would I be okay? All of you, all of me, would I be okay? They have no joy or satisfaction, and there's no rest in these systems.
Could we put together, not as synonyms, but kind of at least in the same camp with fearful, just this idea of anxiety, you know, feeling a sense of stressfulness all the time? Maybe fearful, tired, and anxiety kind of all go together, because I'm thinking of it in terms of kind of wringing the hands. There's just this, and part of that is fear. I think there's a fearfulness of, man, if somebody gets behind the mask, if somebody understands what's really going on, if they see the scared little kid, if they really see that I'm not in control as much as I, you know, make people think I am, that's an anxious,
right?
You know, attitude.
And so anxiety is energy, right? That's being dumped in the body. That's why there's a biological part to it. And really, it is your core issue that is firing. Your core fear is firing. I'm going to fail. I didn't do it right. I'm not good enough. If you just pay attention, your body is warning you, hey, that really, really scary thing, it's happening right now. You're in the middle of it. Your biology will warn you. That's anxiety.
And I will say this too. You've helped me over the years personally, Stephen, with that. Just the idea of understanding that your body is not disconnected from your emotional self. And if you can, and so many times our bodies will respond before our mind is ever engaged. And you've really helped me to see that if I can understand where my emotions kind of attack my system, my body, you know, I realize that my stress comes out of my shoulders. So, man, if I start feeling tightness in my shoulders, I'm going, oh, wait, now I can kick my head into gear and realize, okay, I know what's going on now.
Yeah, my core fear is firing, right? This is scary. And right, then you can pay attention. You can use your logic to help your body get back, and your spirit, really, right?
So that's just a helpful tool for being able to get to know your body in the connection to your emotions as well.
So what drives the role-defined system? What drives it? And it's fear. It's fear. And then you ask, well, what kind of fear? And so what do these men say? Remember, we're talking about gateway men. And what do they say their fear is? We hear three. I want you to add whatever you comes to mind, because I wrote down three. I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid that I'm not adequate. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that I'm not worthy. Or really, that I'm not enough. Or that I'm different. I guess I'm adding here. Mm-hmm. Enough or different. And so, underneath, if I had to really look at myself, these are the fears that are underneath the role that I'm playing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've kind of hit on it, but the ones that I think it kind of boils down into is this idea, especially as men, this fear that I just don't measure up, that I'm not. And I really think a lot of these are, if you really think about what they all connect to, they really connect to identity. And so what these roles end up doing, these unhealthy, dysfunctional roles, they worked for survival just to try to get us through, you know, the confusion and the chaos and the pain of growing up in a broken world. And yet there's a certain time at which we realize these roles, they're not connecting to something deeper in me that I know I need to find the answer to. And I really think that's the identity piece. We realize if I believe that my identity is wrapped up in anger, I'm never content. I'm never satisfied. If I believe that my identity is about the smile on my face and me pleasing other people, I never know if I've done enough, if I've pleased enough, if I've smiled enough. So there's this incompleteness, this fear of I'm incomplete. I don't measure up. And every single thing that I try to perform and do and accomplish is not filling that deepest place. So there's this fear that I'm going to get to the end of my life and it's not enough.
Yes. And it's that I played a role and then I died.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to contentment, peace that surpasses understanding, all
joy,
these big
yeah.
noble things that give life meaning and purpose. You know, it's interesting when you're talking, because I was at this training seminar once and they said, your father gives you identity
mm-hmm.
and your mother is more of an emotional trainer. And so I thought, if your father gave you clear identity, you don't need a role.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have good identity, you're going to pick a role, because that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right? A role and definition. Remember, roles are clear, powerful. They give you identity and they're helpful in any moment. Play your role, play your role. And so if you don't know who you are and have clear identity, play your role. It's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about failure for a minute. I think everybody has a fear of failure theme. And there's three parts to this. One, I'm afraid to fail. Part one. Part two, why am I afraid to fail? Part two, if I fail, I could be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And part three, if I fail, I could be abandoned. Now remember, these systems are developed in childhood. If you fail and you get rejected, and therefore you're abandoned, are you going to be okay as a kid?
Not at all.
You're not going to be okay. So I cannot risk being abandoned. And if I fail, and then you label me bad, what did we do as kids, right? We're in high school. What did we do? We found the weak kid, right? And we picked on, sorry, if you were picked on. But this is what happens with boys, right? We want to be okay, so we find the one weak kid. We all reject him and make him the target, and we push him out of the group and we abandon him.
Yeah.
And then we're okay. We're all in the group because we didn't get rejected or abandoned. Sort of a weird warp thing.
But this is why that fear is so powerful, because at our core, you know, we talk in the workshop about our core need being known and loved. And if you think about what, there's one word that I think encompasses what that means. It means to belong.
Yes.
Yes. And every human being has a desire in the core of themselves to belong. And not just to belong in the sense of, oh, I'm part of this club, or I've got, this is my last name, or those are fine. But I think in the terms of how we are made in the image of God, we are meant to belong mm-hmm. to Him and to belong to one another in His family in a way that transcends and is deeper than all of these roles that we could play. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I think when we have that sense of belonging, when there is that, when our emotions are tied into that sense of deep belonging,
yes.
all of these things that we're talking about here, we can express anger in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. We can lead and we can let others lead. Mm-hmm. We can show kindness without it being something that is our only, you know,
yes.
role.
Yep.
We can even have times where we admit, I'm lost. I have some confusion. I don't know, but I'm not going to let that stop me from learning. We can tell a story and be truly connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
We can understand our rights as sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
And so all of those roles, there are aspects of them that are not wrong, but we've taken them into our emotional system and says, this is apparently the only place I can belong. And then we find that we don't really have belonging going into each of those roles as our identity.
Right. And as you're talking, what's occurring to me is this whole idea of this is the emotional program
mm-hmm.
from our childhood.
Yeah.
But when you think as an adult, grown-up man that can recognize I have spiritual resources and I have spiritual identity, as a boy, I was looking for my place to belong.
Yeah.
Right? And I was scared. And I wasn't going to be okay as a boy if I was abandoned. But that fear still feels the same inside us.
And I don't think it's something that, let's just be honest, I don't believe we ever lose the connection with what we might call our inner child. There's a kid in every single
right.
one of us.
Yes.
I don't care how old you get. It's like there's still this kind of raw,
yes.
Innocent,
scared, unsure, doubtful
kid.
Yeah.
And it's okay to admit that. And
yes.
so what you're talking about is a lifelong venture of continuing to work on this growth of being able to say, can I begin to find more of my belonging, my identity in the wholeness of authentic, healthy relationship and move further and further away from this idea that I've got to be defined by these other things that I did them for survival. I had to be angry to survive as a kid, you know.
Okay, but here's where I was going. We're kids and we're scared. And what you said is spot on. Relationships help address this. But really, as a grown man that is spiritually aware and has been working on his spiritual growth and spiritual insight and who his identity is based on his Heavenly Father and forgiveness, right? And the place we're all headed. When the scared boy says, I'm not going to be okay alone, then the Spirit whispers, hey, we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go talk to the Father.
Yeah.
Let's get our identity straight. Alone is a great place to be when you let your spiritual presence, your spirit do what it does. Go find the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the Father. So do you understand if we stay in the emotional and we don't add this peace, you're a spiritual being. You grew up. Use your spiritual resources, right? Do that work. Then what you said, do your relationship resources. Go find a friend. That friend doesn't like you. Find another friend. You're an adult. You have mm-hmm. car keys, permission. You can do many things, right, to take care of yourself. So work on relationship and then use the emotional tools that are the better tools. Peace, rest, grief, release, grow.
Mm-hmm.
Use those tools when your fear comes up and says, you won't be okay, you won't be okay, it's not going to be okay. You're scared inside part. What do you think?
I think it's excellent. And I think that's one of the things that pops into my head as you were saying that is that's why I think it's great to immerse yourself in the Psalms. There's such emotional expression in there, and it might train you. How do you go to the Father when you're feeling that way? How do you begin to invite Him in and wrestle with these things in His presence and recognize that He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to push you away when you're having these emotions. So that's where we're going to have to land this time around. Listeners, we're grateful that you've been with us, and hopefully this has been helpful to you. If you'd like more help along the way, please contact us, and we'll see you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.